We began our service looking at these wonderful words. Last week we looked at what it was to come out of this wilderness at the end of Song of Solomon, but I wanted to go back to the beginning. But we looked at that glorious description of the Lord Jesus Christ and his bride. And the question is asked, who is this that cometh up? This is Song of Solomon 8:5. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness leaning on her beloved? I love the fact that it speaks of leaning. I love the fact that it speaks of possession. It's her beloved. And we looked at what it was to lean. And then she says in verse 6 of chapter 8, set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm. For love is strong as death, and jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which has the most vehement flame. There is a flaming love. There is a flaming action and the glorious grace of God's gift. Let's read these first few verses, and I want us to be reminded that this is the Song of Songs. It's the song of the Solomon, whose name is Peace, and he's the son of David, and it is, according to God and according to Solomon, the Song of Songs. So this is a special song. We have so many songs in the Scriptures, the Psalms, the songs, and we have the songs of Miriam and Moses and the people of Israel. And we have all of those songs that are sent, those psalms, as they sang as they went up to Jerusalem, which are glorious songs about the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Song of Songs. And so these are precious words, aren't they? They are precious words. I just wanted to read this first opening section of it. And it's just full of the most extraordinary declarations of who God is and the most extraordinary and real declarations of who we are in this world as God's people. This is a Song of Songs, chapter 1, verse 1. Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. And this is a love story between the Lord Jesus Christ and his bride. Like all of the Scriptures, they speak of the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified, all of them. Whether we understand it or not, they are his words. And that's what she says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because the savour of thy good ointments, because of the savour of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love me, love thee. Draw me, this is her prayer again. Kiss, let him kiss me. Draw me, seize a hold of me, take hold of me, take hold of my life, and draw me to yourself. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. I am black. Notice the am is in italics in our translation. I black, but comely. O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me because I'm black. Because the sun has looked upon me, my mother's children are angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard I have not kept. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? And his glorious answer in verse 8, if thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. And obviously I don't have time to, I just wanted you to see the picture of of her petitions and the glorious picture of his answers. And he's speaking of his bride, and he's speaking of the church, he's speaking of the gathering of his people together, where he reveals himself and reveals his glory. Let him kiss me. Let him kiss me. What a remarkable picture of the intimacy the Lord Jesus Christ has with his bride. She's saying, don't hinder him kissing me. Let him kiss me. It speaks, doesn't it, of the glorious intimacy of love and the glorious intimacy of union. This is Christ and his church, isn't it? You come, turn with me to a couple of scriptures, just so that we know what we're looking at here, because this is what she is saying and Paul is saying the same thing. He says in Ephesians chapter 5, you husbands, you love your wives, even, verse 25, you know it well, husbands, love your wife even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. What was the Lord's work in this world? To do a work of glorious revelation of who God is, that he might, in his body of his flesh, through death, present all of his church holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Are these words that come as kisses? They do come as kisses to the souls of God's people. Listen to what will happen for all of his bride. In Revelation 21, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God, the dwelling place of God, is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. And he that sat on the throne said, behold, I make, you gaze upon this. These are words, aren't they? These are the words that kiss, aren't they? They're the kisses of his mouth. These are his promises, aren't they? Behold, I make all things new, and he said unto me, write. You write these down. And I just love, don't you love the scriptures that are written? We can go back and read them again and again and again, and we can go back and read them and say, I don't understand it, but I believe it. You help me. You have to kiss me with the kisses of your mouth. These words have come from your mouth. He's our God who speaks. Write, for these words are what? They're true words. God cannot lie, brothers and sisters. God cannot lie. These words are true, and they're faithful. It means they're full of faith. Faithful words. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. What proceeds from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ? The very word of God. The very words of God proceed from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're gloriously written and carried to us by the work of the Holy Spirit. So there, that's what I want to be kissed with. That's what the bride wants to be kissed with, doesn't she? The very first petition of hers is, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Let his word come to me as a word of affection, a word of embrace, a word of love, a word that speaks of his glory, and a word that speaks of my union with him. And listen to what she then says. For thy love is better than wine. Wine which gladdens the heart. But thy love is better than wine. What's wine picture in the New Testament when we have the Lord's Supper? The wine speaks of his blood, doesn't it? This is the blood of the new covenant which is shed for you. He shed that blood for these particular people. And why did he shed that blood for them? Because he loved them. God so loved. God so loved that he sent. Are they words that come to you as words of affection? This is a love letter, isn't it? This is a love letter between the Lord Jesus Christ and his bride. And if you are like the Shulamite, down in verse 5, black. Black. What's black speak of? Sin and lostness and death. She says, I'm black. I'm black but comely. See, right at the very beginning of this song, we have a glorious description of our Saviour. We have a glorious description of his death. We have a glorious description of his love. We have a glorious description of his name. And we have a glorious description from God of who we are. One of the wonderful, wonderful comforting words, one of the words that kiss, that come as a kiss to God's people, that in this world, Adam in us, Adam what we are in this flesh, never changes. I am thankful, I'm so thankful for the changes that we do see. I'm very thankful for people, so many people that want to live in kindness and in all sorts of ways. But you scratch every one of Adam's children and out will come that. Out will come that. And when God saves a sinner, he puts something, he puts himself in a sinner. It's Christ in you. So she can say, and all of God's children, like Paul in Romans chapter 7, he said, I'm a wretched man. Everything I touch with these hands is sin. I wish to do good, and I find that sin is there with me all the time. Is that your experience? Dear brothers and sisters, we're not excusing sin, but we're being honest. And if God is going to kiss you with the kiss of his mouth, we're going to be honest about who we are and what we are. It's Christ in you. It is the new creation. It's the new heart. A new heart that he puts in his people. Listen to how he describes it. I do love this verse in Ephesians chapter 4. He talks about the new man. You put on the new man. You believe who God is. You believe who the Lord Jesus Christ is as he declared himself to be. The new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. The new man is Christ in you. This is the intimacy of the union between the Lord Jesus Christ and his people. He has so washed them from their sins and made them holy in his presence that God Almighty, holy God Almighty, can come and dwell in them. And then he says to them, he says, whosoever is born of God, whosoever has this new creation, that's what Nicodemus needed, a new creation, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. Because his seed remaineth in him. It's speaking of the two natures. She is both black. She says, I am black. I black. I black but comely. I black but comely. I'm black but I'm beautiful. I'm black but I'm loved by him. I am black. On the outside, I'm black in my flesh, my Adam flesh. It is such a comfort, it's such a kiss of his mouth for us to know that all of our holiness is in the Lord Jesus Christ and absolutely nothing in us. If I'm black, I need the light of God to shine upon me. I need, and the Shulamite is talking about it, I need and you need all of God's people. That's what Nicodemus was told. You need a new heart. You need a new heart. A new heart also I will give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and take away the stony heart out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I was thinking about a stone today. Remarkable things, aren't they? It's completely dead. It's completely lifeless. It cannot smell the beauty of the Lord. It cannot see the beauty of the Lord. It can't taste that the Lord is good. It can't feel. It's dead. 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 But remarkably, it's dead and it's held together powerfully. And that's a great picture, isn't it? Of that heart of stone is in all of us from Adam, isn't it? We're all made in the image of Adam. We're created. Adam's children are all born in his likeness, according to Genesis 5. And that's the heart that we're given, completely unfeeling. That heart can hold itself together with religion. That heart can hold itself together with self-righteousness. That heart can hold itself together with its good deeds. You go out to that crowd that's out there watching the football now. If you go to every single one of those people, they'll say, either I am righteous or I can do righteousness by myself. Don't they? And the religious world is saying, we just read it, didn't we? That God's going to help you grow in your holiness. Rubbish. Blasphemous rubbish. There's no kissing of the mouth of God's children. A new heart will also, a new spirit will I put within you, and I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh. That stony heart that can't love God, that stony heart that can look upon the Lord Jesus Christ and say, it's nothing to me. It's just nothing to me. That's what the world says, isn't it? And I will put my spirit within you, and I will cause you to walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land. Isn't it glorious? I don't know about you, brothers and sisters. I just find the word of God more precious as I grow older. And I'm so thankful that he's written it down, because as my memory gets more infirmed, and I need more and more to say, I need to go back and see what he says. And I read this book again and again and again. I've been reading it and studying it, and I go back and I find things that I've never seen there before. I think, isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Does he kiss you with the kisses of your mouth? If he's going to kiss you, you're just going to come to this word and say, Lord, you've got to teach me wonderful things out of your word. You've got to teach me. You've got to be the one that leads me and guides me into the truth. Let him kiss me with the kisses of your mouth, for your love is better than wine. And now he speaks of that love. That love is like the savour of good ointment, because of the savour of thy good ointments. That speaks of odour. Of thy good ointments. Of thy good ointments. That speaks of anointing. Of his anointing. He's the anointed prophet who brings to us the word of God, and it kisses his people with those words of his mouth. He's the anointed priest that takes his people into the very presence of God Almighty with his own blood and causes them to be perfectly acceptable to God. He is that perfect priest. He carries us into the presence of God with our names written on his heart and our names written on his shoulders. He carries, and he's the anointed king. And don't you love that? There's a king that rules over all things. He's an anointed one. The odour of thy anointings. The odour of thy anointings. And what does this all speak of? Thy name is as ointment poured forth. It's not extracted. It's not extracted. It's poured freely. And it's poured particularly, and it's poured purposefully to his people. And it's his name, all of his glorious attributes. Don't you love the name of God? Don't you love the name? Don't you love his absolute sovereignty? Don't you love his glorious holiness? Don't you love that he's absolutely righteous, that he's absolutely true? Don't you love all of the names that are given to him? Wonderful. was talking to Norm about this, and I still haven't been able to get to the bottom of it, but God says in Isaiah chapter 9, you know the verses, His name shall be called Wonderful. Is His name wonderful to you? Is He wonderful? Is He full of wonder? He's wonderful. Counselor. That doesn't mean that He comes as a psychologist to help us. It means that He has the counsel of God, isn't it? He decrees all things and all things are done according to His purpose. He is the mighty God. And all I can think of is Norm was pointing out the fact that He is the mighty God, He is the everlasting Father, He is the Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. It means He's the particular one. It's the best I can find, Norm, I'm sorry. But He is the particular one. He is this distinctive one. This is His name, brothers and sisters. The Lord Jesus Christ is the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. And He has a government that rules all things in this world. Don't you love to have that as your king? Don't you love the fact that not only is He absolutely sovereign and sits on the throne of this universe, He's so intimately connected to His people and so in love with His people that He comes to them and kisses them with the kisses of His mouth. He's both Almighty God and glorious friend and husband to sinners like us. His name is as ointment poured forth. It speaks of fruitfulness. That ointment poured forth. One of the glorious things about ointment is a couple of glorious things about you can't see it. You can't see ointment. You can't see perfume. You can't see that. You can't see the smell. It's just there, isn't it? The other thing that's remarkable about it is that it's so distinctive. My mother-in-law died a couple of months ago, and she had a perfume, didn't she? And others, you know people that have a perfume, and their perfume almost precedes them into the room sometimes, doesn't it? Sometimes it's strong. But it speaks of particularity, doesn't it? It speaks of an unmistakable and distinctive characteristic of that person. And this is what His name is. His name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. It's not talking about physical virginity for one second. It's speaking of that those who are pure in their love and in their devotion and in their belonging to Him. Therefore do the virgins love thee. She has some names for Him. It's amazing. I was looking through Song of Solomon thinking, what are the names in there? And she says of Him, O thou whom my soul loveth. And He's described as the rose of Sharon and He's the lily of the valley. He's both red, the emblem of His death, and He's the lily of the valleys. He's absolutely perfectly pure in His whiteness. But I love what she says of Him. He's my friend. He's my friend. What a remarkable thing that God Almighty would so work in the hearts of His people that He would draw them to Himself and reveal Himself to them and call them His friend. And He is the chiefest among 10,000. She describes Him in the most remarkable ways. But thy name is as ointment poured forth. This ointment is better than wine. Thy love is better than wine. It speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And listen to what she goes on to say, draw me, you seize a hold of me, you lay a hold of me. Lord, don't let me go my own way. We have prayed this prayer since the beginning of this church, haven't we? The prayer that Moses prayed. Lord, if you don't go with us, don't you dare let us make another step from here. Don't you dare let us go anywhere that you are not with us. And that was exactly what Moses prayed. And Moses prayed it because he had received the grace of God. Don't let me do anything. Don't let us do anything which dishonours your glory and your name. You lay a hold of me and we will run after thee. What a great promise. But notice with me how she speaks. She says, draw me and we will run after thee. And then she says, the king has brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. He's speaking of bringing
His church, those chambers are the inner chambers. He's bringing his people into the Holy of Holies. He's bringing people into the very presence of God. And you come individually and you come collectively. He's speaking about church again and again. He's talking about the glory of the church. This is a place where God the Father has determined that he'll get glory for his Son in the gathering of his people together around the gospel, where the Lord Jesus Christ is lifted up. Draw me and we will run. The King hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice. If the Lord Jesus Christ brings you into the chambers of his love, brings you into the Holy of Holies, brings you to the place where you see his blood sacrifice, brings you to the place where you see how big a sinner you are, how dreadful a sinner you are, how continuing a sinner you are, you'll need to be brought into his chambers again and again and again. We will be glad. What is our gladness and our rejoicing according to this beautiful psalm? We rejoice in him. We rejoice in him. All of our rejoicing is in who he is and what he's done. I can't find a single thing in my life that would cause me to rejoice about what I'm done and what I'm doing. My preaching, my Bible reading, my missionary activities, everything else, my witness, everything. I can't rejoice in a single thing. All of my rejoicing, I trust God is my witness if that's the case. All my rejoicing's in him. And I'm glad. I'm glad that it's that way. I'm glad that all of my rejoicing is him. Then she says, we will remember thy love more than wine. We read about it in 1 John chapter 4, didn't we, about his love for his bride and his love for his church. It's love that drove him to the cross at Calvary. It was love that held him there, love for his Father, love for the name of his Father, for the glory of God, and love for his bride. We will remember thy love more than wine. Therefore, the upright, love thee. The righteous, love thee. And that's why, in the midst of all of that glory, she can then turn around and say, I'm black. And then she says, I'm black, but I'm beautiful. I'm black, but I'm adorable. I am robed with the very righteousness of God Almighty, a robe of righteousness that he stitched together in this world. And that's the robe of all of the saints in heaven, isn't it? That's the robe that, with which you come to the wedding feast. And if your robe of righteousness has one little tiny stitch of your works in it, your goodness or your doing or your potential to do, you'll be cast out and the door will be shut. We'll be glad and rejoice. Let's finish by just reading this again. Let him kiss me. Oh, what a prayer. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savour of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me and we will run after thee. The King has brought me into his chambers. We will be glad. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. We're about to participate yet again in a meal of remembrance. You cannot remember someone that you do not know. And for those who know him and love him, he just says, come and remember. And he says, remember and remember and keep remembering. Why? Because we just keep forgetting, brothers and sisters. We forget that we're black, and we forget more often that we're beautiful in his sight. May this cause us to be kissed by the kisses of his mouth. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for the wonder of your word, and particularly, Heavenly Father, that your word reveals and shines a light and causes us to see the Word made flesh as wonderful and Counselor, Mighty God and Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace. We just praise you, Heavenly Father, that our anointed King rules all things. Our anointed priest takes all of his bride, carries them on his heart, and carries their names upon his shoulders into the very Holy of Holies in heaven. And as we have this remembrance meal here, Heavenly Father, we pray that we would remember his broken body that was broken for us on our behalf, and remember that blood that was shed, the blood of the everlasting covenant by which the great shepherd revealed his great glory and gathers his sheep to himself and makes his sheep to be holy in his presence. Our Father, for those that can't be with us, we pray your mercy upon them. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that we would be people that go from here remembering him and rejoicing in who he is. We thank you, our Father. Please make your words like kisses to us in our time of need, as we say again and again, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Our Father, reveal your glory again and again to us, for we pray in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.